Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, your butt at the party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur, sitting in the Duck South Studios. That's a cold one, too. Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. Joining me on the End of the Line, Josh Webb. Josh, what's happening?
I have nothing to say now. You stole my weather line. It's cold, so I'm done. I'll just sit here.
It's old song. Just another manic Monday. Whoa. Hey, you know what kind of Monday it really is?
Well, I don't know. That's going to probably be different for me and you. So
yeah,
my Monday started last night about 6 o'clock when my alternator went out in my truck in the middle of the road. So
how many miles you got on the Wild White Stallion?
172,000.
Not bad. I got more than that on the old Silver Suburban.
Yeah, no, ain't bad at all. So just an alternator, replace it this afternoon, and we'll rock on.
We've actually been looking lately at different vehicles because I'm not looking at any major fixes. I don't want to spend out of pocket major fixes on a vehicle. I've been looking at Expeditions for my next one. I don't know, man. You know, with all that's going on in this country, I'm just leaning toward a Ford on my next one.
Yeah, my wife's been looking at into those too. Of course, we're going to sell hers and get her something a little bigger, which, I mean, hers is big enough now, but we're going to just go up one more size. And the Expedition is something she's been looking at.
They're nice looking.
Yeah, they're nice. They're a nice vehicle. Yeah, I have no problems with them.
You know, that kind of brings me to where we're at today. I'm kind of that two tears in a bucket kind of day. You know how that ends, don't you?
yeah.
One of my old classmates about to get back in high school, man. His favorite saying, two tears in a bucket, man. You know, right before we'd get ready to would be duck hunting or to get in some kind of trouble, I'd say, you sure you won't do this? Oh, man, two tears in a bucket.
Well,
I'll tell you who it was. He's a taxidermist down there by you now.
Oh, goodness. I haven't seen him in a while either. I need to stop in on him.
A lot of you listening to this podcast is going to know who he is.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, look, I've got animals on my wall that he's worked on. He's dang good, but you're right.
Ooh, he's one of the best.
Witty or clever sayings or really, I guess, just straightforward. He's just that kind of person. He's straightforward. Just, yeah.
He is absolutely, listen, I'm going to piss some people off, but he is absolutely in the Southeast, he is one of the best, top three. Seen a lot of work from a lot of different people, turkey and deer. He hates ducks. So all of these people that may be listening to this podcast is a duck taxidermist, don't worry about him. He hates ducks. He is not going out and trying to get your business on ducks.
No, he told me years ago. He said, do not bring a duck in my door. All right. You know,
And if you brought a Canada Goose to him, he may take him while you're standing there away from you and throw him out in the cotton field beside a shop.
He very well might. He's not a. Yeah, it's not that he couldn't do it, but he just don't.
Canada Goose. Well, you know that it's Monday, so coming up in just a little while is Mondays with Rob. But no, why is it a two tears in the bucket day? I'm not going to go too deep off in this spiel, but, you know, let's just say this. An industry that was born so pure with such, and just tell me if this doesn't make sense as I walk through this. I know a lot of times, especially on Monday with no sleep, I don't make a lot of sense. But an industry built on people like the hunting industry is, so pure, such great men, Cuz, Coxie, Will, Phil, who else am I missing?
Oh, goodness. There's a dozen or so that yeah.
The bow hunter. I'm missing the bow hunter from the 80s, the 70s and 80s.
I get the point you're getting to.
Hold on. Let me say this. An industry that was built off of guys like that, guys that that took it, did it because they loved it. And I don't say that. Listen, I'm not saying the guys today don't love it. I'm not. But it was so pure and so good back then that there's such a vast difference in the old days versus the new days today.
Oh, absolutely.
It is so, and a lot of people are going to be saying, man, who are you talking about? Who are you specific? I'm not talking about anybody specifically. But just to answer me this, has it not turned ego-driven?
Oh, absolutely. It's very, and the easy place, and rightfully so, the easy place to point the finger is social media. But it is very shallow. It is very short-term. It is very narcissistic. We're not talking about one person or one company or whatever, or one brand, whatever. This is in general, and there's a lot of people we can get on here to say this as well. It's frustrating because there's a lot fewer people who do something in the hunting industry today that actually have the want to make it to have something that lasts. The huge majority of people, companies, whatever you want to call it, they just want to be the next coolest thing, and they put zero thought into whatever they're doing lasting until their kids and grandkids can enjoy it. All they want to do is be able to beat their chest and be the cool guy or cool woman for a short period of time. And me and you were talking about this. Like, I feel bad for a lot of these people. I feel bad for a lot of them because...
Are you referring to huntresses?
I mean, no, not specifically. Both. I mean, it's men and women. It's men and women. I feel bad for a lot of them. I really do. Because in their mind, they think what they're doing or a company that they quote-unquote represent actually cares about them. And the unfortunate truth is they don't. And a lot of people, I mean, every day, people having to learn that the hard way. But at the same time, the companies should want people out there representing them in a positive light. But the company just wants to have the newest, coolest person or thing or whatever out there with no longevity. They want to wake up on a Friday and be like, we're the coolest thing going into the weekend, and they don't even think about Monday.
That's a great point. I got 2 points in this.
And that's frustrating. It's frustrating because I don't know what the crap the industry or the atmosphere is going to look like for my kids and grandkids. I mean, really, I don't. I don't. And I asked you this the other day, because me and you, you know, my oldest child and your youngest child are about the same age. And I asked you the other day, and you did, and I've asked other people, but I ask you, who in their life, who are their wheels and their toxies and their feels? Who are those people? Because we had them, but who are those people to them in the hunting industry?
Oh man, I think there's some good ones out there. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Spencers, I would not have a problem at all with my kid looking up Spencer Halford. Martin, another good one. But let me tell you something about Will Primos. Been friends with him for a while, since the late 90s. Not his oldest, dearest friends by any means, but we're good friends. I can promise you this. If that man tells you something, I'm going to meet you at the floor of Walmart at, even though Florida doesn't have a Walmart, at 216. That sucker's pulling up at 214.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Those guys,
those type of people are harder and harder to find every day.
Ramsey Rumpel, that's another one that's growing really fast. Ramsey Rumpel,
that's not just in the hunting world. Yeah.
You know what? Man, if there is a more blue-collar, and I'm not saying this because he's on our podcast weekly, but if you can find me a more blue-collar guy that is, he's tied into white-collar, don't get me wrong, but represents the blue-collar duck hunter more than Ramsey Russell, I'll give you $100.
Yeah. He's also one of them. That if he says, I'm going to do something, he does it. He does it. And that's not just in industry, not just in work, not just that. I mean, that's in life. And the life part of it, that's what's more frustrating to me than anything to do with the hunting industry. I mean, it's just whatever. But it's just in life, period. There's so few people that you actually come in contact with, no matter where you are, where you live, that actually does what they say they're going to do. They talk the talk all day, every day, but when it comes down to walking the walk, they turn and walk the other way.
Dude, it's just a basic principle of life. What did I talk to my kids about every single day on the way to school? Just a basic principle of life. You make a promise, you freaking kill yourself trying to fulfill that promise.
Yeah. Yeah, if it doesn't bother you internally to not be able to fulfill a promise, then
something's wrong with you.
Then you need to check yourself. And look, this is something I tell myself daily. I mean, I do. I'm not singling out anybody. I'm the same way. I have to tell myself this. But and look, there's times when you can't. There's times when things happen and that you have no control over, where you can't fulfill something you told somebody you would do. But you have to be man or woman enough to tell that person, hey, I can't right now, but I will. And here's the thing, that is 1,000 times better than just saying nothing.
Here's the
silence.
That's a great
silence
point. Here's my second thing. Here's where I think the hunting industry went wrong. We created all of these pro staffs. And hunting industry, Ramsey Russell disagrees with me on this, and you were on that podcast when we were talking about this. But I think where the hunting industry, it was a positive and a negative for them, is to see, go and use people by giving them free stuff to get their name out.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's some some places and lots of people that they write, you know, the Tony Vandamores of the world that get a check written to them to promote a product. Then there's others that they get a goodie box once a year. Hey, you gonna talk about us, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, too. If that person does, great. The second the person doesn't, they cut all ties with them. They act like they never existed. They go right on to the next one who's got their hand stuck out.
There's no loyalty. That's what I was going to say. No. And there's no loyalty. No. And then people get pissed off about it because there's no loyalty. Well, if you want freaking loyalty, loyalty is written in a check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't. Listen, this is nothing to do with us. But how many people have we turned away? Hey, you want some free decoys? You want a free jacket? Just say your name on there once in a while. No!
No, I don't want it. I don't want it.
I got enough crap taking up room. I got 4 storage buildings and a shipping container full of crap. I don't need any more crap.
Right. It's the truth. I mean, no, it's the truth. There's no loyalty. But the thing is, the no loyalty part of it, it goes both ways. It goes from whatever companies to individuals and from individuals.
That is true.
No loyalty. Sure. I mean, oh, you gave me a free jacket. Cool. They're giving me a free jacket and a free beanie and a free pair of gloves. So I hate your products now. They gave me more. And then, you know, down the road, oh, well, that company, they're going to give me boots. They're going to say my name on Instagram, and I'm going to be in a picture with them. So I'm going there. And there's no loyalty. It just on either side of it. Because from a company standpoint, they'll sit there and say, well, we sent you that stuff, and, you know, all you did was post 2 pictures about it the whole season. So. you don't belong to us anymore. Bye.
I'm going to go back to one of the basic, agree or disagree with this, Josh. I'm going to go back to one of the basic principles of the Bible. Pride goeth before downfall. So many companies are so fast to come and go these days.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think it's because they get so prideful and bow up their chest and start beating on them like a freaking gorilla. Well, you know what? Nobody wants to do business with those people.
That's right. Well, that's the thing. It's like a race to the top. And unfortunately, you can get to the – I say unfortunately. In some ways, you can get to the top faster nowadays. But the thing is, when you get there, you realize it's what a lot of those mountain climbers call a false summit. It's not the real top, because the real top is the top, and it's the longevity, and it's actually been able to be there and stay there. It's not just get somewhere just a little bit higher than everybody else, because as soon as you start beating your chest, yeah, no, you're gone. It's just over with.
One of my favorite games as a kid, besides Dirt Clock Wars, was King of the Hill. Remember King of the Hill? You give me a mountain of sand or gravel, son, and 3 or 4 of us boys, we were playing King of the Hill.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
you wanted to get to the top, but when you did, you were going to get smushed.
Yep. Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing right there. You can get there and stay there if you're loyal and you actually have a plan for longevity. But that doesn't, I mean, that just almost doesn't exist anymore. And that's why I say that. That's why I asked you that the other day. Who in the crap do our kids look at in the same way that we grew up looking at the Phil Robertsons and Toxie Hayes and Will Primos? And I mean, and they're not there. And
they still live off the principal foundations they were founded on. That's why they're still around. It wasn't about ego back then. It was about building successful companies and making sure your customers were happy at the end of the day. And now,
I'll say this, Will is, which you're a lot closer to Will than I am, but one of the things that, and I know this is not a praise Will-a-thon, but one of the things you always told me about Will, and I've seen it happen, and I can speak personally to it, that it is true. He's the busiest person you'll ever find that will pick up the phone and talk to you when you call him. And that's just it. Now, he might answer and say, I got to call you back. And he will call you back. Those kind of people, those kind of principles, it's just frustrating. They just almost don't exist.
Listen, another hour or 30 minutes, just Huntress alone.
Sell yourself out. Hunting industry decided to go calendar girl on everything, and yeah, it'd be a lot longer than an hour conversation. We got off talking about that. And I feel bad for them, like I really do. And look, there's some out there that claim they're getting paid a lot of money, and I really hope they are. I'm happy for them if they are.
But they're getting paid referral fees. They wouldn't be putting all these hashtag use this gift code when you check out, because they're getting paid on commission is what they're doing. Use Spring 15 to order this lipstick as I sit in the deer stand. Are you freaking kidding me? That tells company A to pay that person their commission on what was sold through that code. Mm-hmm. That works. I mean, I saw one last week, and let me get this off my chest. Two tears in a bucket, okay? Freaking girl had her holster stuck down her freaking vagina with their pistol. You know who I'm talking about. Give me a
bunch
freaking break. Is it really about you and selling that holster? Are you just you're looking for the next jump to the top, Super Mario? Who wants to hire me next to promote their products?
That's how the whole industry has become. And that's how the whole thing has become. But I know exactly what you're saying. And it goes for, I mean, look, there's just as many dudes that sell out for anybody who will give them an inkling of buy. And I mean, the same way that a lot of huntresses will. It's the same thing. But like I said, that kind of loyalty, that kind of, I don't know if unloyalty is a word, but unloyalty, it goes both ways. Because, I mean, that tells me a lot about a company, too. If they're willing just to shell out anything and everything to try to get eyeballs on their product for the cost of losing a little dignity, then, I mean, that says a lot about the company, too.
Maybe.
It says as much about the company than it as it does the individual, to me. I mean, if you're willing to do it as a company, and if you're willing to do it as an individual, then there's no depth. There's no depth to it at all.
Maybe most of the hunting industry is a bunch of sheep. Maybe they are. I don't know. You know, I can remember Tony when he first came back on. I'm gonna say this. I don't give a dang. If you're listening to this, Tony, when he first got back on with Cabela's, this is probably, it's been a year now, year and a couple of months. You know, Cabela's through Tony started this hard push on wearing flannel, duck hunting. Seen that? And now, look at all the sheep. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some people that I'm friends with that have been wearing flannel since they started duck hunting. Instead of putting on a camouflage coat. You know what I'm saying? But so many sheeple followed right in behind Tony because, you know, he started promoting it.
I follow you.
Get people to move like that and you move the needle. You need a check written to you.
I agree with that. There's also a huge, huge number of people who, in their mind, do move the needle. And then when they're told, no, you don't, that's when they say, oh, you're right. Well, screw you as a company. I don't like you anyway. There's no depth to anything. Or to very little, I'll say that. There is depth out there. But
I long for the days of what it was 25 years ago. I long for those days. we live in a different age than what it was 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's nothing but a self-promotion.
You know somebody that's real, and he's going to tell you like it is. He's coming up next. Brother Rob. It is Mondays with Rob. We need to get to that interview with him now. Josh, have a great rest of the day. We will talk to you a little bit later on.
This call is being recorded.
All right, guys, like I told you on the front end of the podcast, Rob Crew. Rob, we're going to prepare you, brother. I told Josh on the front end of this podcast, it's a two tears and a bucket kind of day. You better watch what you talk about. You hear what I really think.
Yeah, okay, okay, I'm ready.
So, I noticed on your Instagram, we're up in South Dakota. So I could finish it up there. Is it just closed, right?
Well, the thing is that, you know, you really got to fall on the ducks. And when it got hot, they all went up there. So I just went with them.
That's a long drive.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I got to ask, how's the neighbor?
You know, I hadn't seen the neighbor since last week. I don't know. But I have flipped them off every time I went by their house since then. And I have been on the lookout.
So, no news. No news is good news sometimes.
Sometimes it is, you're right.
So, tell me about your Black Friday. I know you went and busted the doors down somewhere.
Yeah, I busted them down in my number one blind. But no, I really wanted to get me a few deals. Talked to one of my buddies. He was at Walmart at 10:30 Thursday night. I said, what are you doing? He said, got to get on these deals, son. I said, what in the world?
I have to admit. Listen, I walked through Walmart just to buy some envelopes to ship journals with on Friday. And I walked back through the electronics. 2 years ago, I bought a 65-inch TV. It was just an old 1080 TV. And it cost back then, I think, $1,600 or $1,800. And now, a 65-inch 4K, they were selling for $500. Are you kidding me?
Golly, that's crazy. It's crazy, isn't it? I'll tell you what, Esty's got a pretty good deal on a TV.
Esty's got a good after-the-sale deal.
Yeah.
Sucker. Bought the TV. Found out that they were having a sale the next day or something. He returned it or told them to give him the credit for the sale. Have we gone too far with customer service trying to make people happy?
Yes.
Because in the old days, you know what a store would have told you if you'd have called them back up after you bought the TV and said, hey, y'all are having a sale today? They'd said, screw you.
Yeah, you should have been here. You should have waited.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he got it. He got to see that game in full HD, and I'm glad. I'm proud of him.
Oh, boy. I got to tell you, Groom, I'm of the belief, and it may be against, you may not want to hear it, but I think we got everything that we deserved after what we did last year at Starkville.
I mean, you know, we've had our back and forth with them. I'm not really a big... We knew we were going to get thrashed before we even got to the game. So, I mean, you can call it what you want, but they've done plenty of things in their time that we didn't deserve, or that, you know, payback was what it was. But yeah, they're a better team. You know, they got a coach looks like he fell off a train in Wyoming somewhere and hiked back to Pennsylvania.
That's a great thought. He does look like a hobo.
Yeah, he does. And then somehow he hiked to Pennsylvania, and I don't know, somehow I just went blank. What's the old Vanderbilt coach that's the head coach now? He picked him up, and, you
Franklin,
know, anybody.
Not Franklin.
Yeah, it is Franklin, James Franklin. And, you know, anybody can run an offense in the Big Ten or 12, whatever, the Big Ten. I mean, I could just for my NCAA 98 football games, I could destroy, you know, Big Ten defenses. They wouldn't know what hit them. So if anybody's listening to this that has a connection there, needs an offensive coordinator, I could probably moonlight and do both.
In reference to what I said, we deserved it. It wasn't in the score because I thought that we could score some points against them, but man, when they put Te'Amu down, we scored
seven at the end of the third quarter.
Oh yeah, I knew when Te'Amu went down, they nailed him on the shoulder, and he went walking to the sidelines that first time with his arm dangling down. I said, "Yep, it's over."
Well, I mean, it was over from the start. But let's be honest, if we would have knocked out their quarterback, they would be talking about it for the end of time. Oh, they're dirty. Oh, there they go knocking out another quarterback. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, we just know it's football because we're not idiots. So, whatever. You know, they're a better team. I'm glad they won. They'll have fun in the whatever bowl they go to. And you know, next year they're going to suck really bad, just like us, and we'll see what happens. You know, it's okay. I mean, I knew we were gonna suck. You knew we were gonna suck. I mean, this isn't a surprise to anybody, or it isn't to me.
Not to me. So the comparisons were, but we hurt their quarterback. They hurt ours this year. The only thing that they didn't do was the peeing on the field, which I still think is classic. DK Metcalf act like he was peeing and marking their field last year.
Yeah, that wasn't just real cool. But let's be honest. I mean, it was kind of funny.
Oh, it was hilarious. And then the flag plant. We planted our flag on their 50. They planted theirs this year. And then I saw Ole Miss fans on Twitter, "Show your class, Mississippi State." You got a short term memory, or? You know, do you forget what happened a year ago?
I don't even understand why these people get so upset. It doesn't even bother me. They won the game. Let them celebrate. It's a rivalry, for God's sake. That's what's wrong with American people today. They're all a bunch of what I want to say, and they can't. I mean, just get over it. Just get over it.
And then your favorite athletic director ran down on the field as they're planting the flag, or he's on the field. I know you saw this on Twitter, right, Rob?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Or the assistant AD, and he yelled something, "Don't be a bunch of thugs." Well, the last thing in this world, in our culture, you can say to a black male is call him a thug. You can't do
that.
It's not fair.
There's white flux. Thugs, there's Asian thugs, there's black thugs, there's Mexican thugs. I mean, who do you think you are? I mean, what
you would be better off using the N-word than calling a black male a thug.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, at least we didn't punch some guy in his pacemaker.
Hey, I was glad, talking about your hobo coach, though, the hobo coach that you love so much. he hollered across the field, "I'm not going to take any off of any AD but my own."
Yeah.
Hollering at the old Miss AD.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't watch that. I watched about the last – whenever they got in the fight is when I turned it on. And I didn't even watch – I really honestly didn't watch much of that game. I knew what was going to happen. I bet Mississippi State. I mean, you know – come on, man. We knew it was all coming. I'm not even really, whatever.
All right, so let's talk about this one real quick, though. Texas A&M LSU. We both have a shared experience of something similar to the LSU-Texas A&M game. You know, we were both present for the Arkansas-Ole Miss 7 overtime game back in 2001. 2001.
I was dating this girl, and anyway, sometimes I got a little unruly at these games, but anyway, she decided, her and a friend, you know, we were on our whatever football date that everybody did together, and she decided she was hungry, so she just went up to what they used to have, that they used to have that place up there right by where Danvers was. There might have been the old Danvers building in front of the mall. I can't remember what it's called, but she went up there and ate, had dinner, probably hooked up with another guy, came back to the game, and it was still going on. She went to the Grove. She's like, "Where is everybody?" And we were still at the game.
That game, it was one of the best experiences in all of my fandom of Ole Miss. But I will have to say this, and I put this in a text the other night to you, was the bad thing about it was at this time, I was still, I love the whiskey. And let me tell you something, for a guy that's sneaking in whiskey in his boots, a 7-7 over game is not a good thing on somebody drinking whiskey. Number one, you lose your voice, but number two, you run out. And there is nothing worse than a whiskey low, especially after you've been yelling your lungs out.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing better. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, at least our game was like 54 to 52 or something like that. I mean, that game, their game got crazy.
What was it? The final was 74, 72?
Yeah, yeah.
They got royally screwed, though. LSU totally screwed.
Speaking of deserving something, though.
There is. Do you agree with this? It is time for a change in SEC refereeing. Listen, you're to a point as a conference that you've got, I don't know how many hundreds of millions coming in every year, and you still got our full-time bankers, part-time referees.
Yeah, and you know, the real problem is the SEC commissioner, Sankey. He is a complete joke.
Oh, I agree with you. But the main thing that's got to happen when it comes to the SEC, they've got to get the review sent to a neutral location and get when you're going to the SEC offices and you don't have the team's best interest, but the conference's best interest in mind, like last weekend. How many different – I know of two catches that resembled A.J. Brown's catch this past weekend that resembled A.J. Brown's catch in the Vanderbilt game. They got sent to review for 25 minutes, and they came back and said it wasn't a catch. But
yeah,
if you look at that from the outside looking in, you're thinking, okay, this is the conference pulling for a team to get bowl eligible to, you know, make more money for the conference.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious. We talked about it last week. You know, they needed to get some in there. And, you know, they're going to take – I mean, did Tennessee end up 5-7? They'll probably be in the Weed Eater Bowl or something.
Yeah, you can go, what, one time every 3 years or something with a losing record? I bet you Tennessee ends up getting picked up.
Yeah, but they will. Yeah, they'll get picked up.
If you Arkansas and Ole Miss, we know there's 10 or 11 spots for SEC teams. And you know if Alabama and Georgia end up in the, which is likely to happen, that's two teams off the table, so that leaves 10 spots available for at-large bids.
Yeah.
So Tennessee could very well, holy crap, Jesse Presley, you may be going to a bowl game.
And honestly, they should. You know, I've always thought you got to be 6-6, but the way it is now with 87 bowl games, let them in. Let them go get some practice. You know, that's going to be important to them. And that's, you know, go ahead and get them in there. They'll draw fans. There's no doubt about that.
Ooh, man, when was the last time Tennessee was in a bowl game? How long has it been? 3-4 years?
4 coaches ago. whenever they fired Fulmer, you know, that was kind of one of those deals where you're like, I don't know if I would have done that. And whenever they fired him, that's when the hex came to those guys.
All right, so before I let you go, did you get the Christmas tree down? Did you get up in the attic, get all the decorations down for your lovely wife?
I'm gonna tell you, I don't know how this happened, but I somehow did not have a Thanksgiving lunch, dinner, or anything. Somehow this year, my parents had theirs on Wednesday. Her parents had it on Sunday week before. And so I woke up Thursday morning and immediately went to the attic and got everything down and had everything right by the door ready for when she woke up. And she woke up and I said, where do you want this? Tell me right now. And she said, I want it right here. She said, all you have to do is put it up and put the lights on it and you're free to go. And I said, yes, ma'am. And there I went. Got the tree up and the lights on in about 30 minutes while watching the first part of the Detroit game. And it was good, man. I left out of there, headed over to the old, oozed over to Arkansas. And that's what we did.
So you left a wife at home smiling then?
Yes. But last night when I got home, I'm going to say that she probably wasn't as happy with me as when I left, because I was tired and a little grumpy, stuff like that.
Well.
No, I mean, you got to play hurt. It's duck season, you know?
Before I let you go, are you still going to grow your beard out like Estes?
I'm trying to, man, but apparently he's got some genetics I don't have.
Somebody said on here, said, man, you look like I love Estes. He's got the Amish beard working. That's what it was.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on, I'm going to say. That migration report was amazing. Really was amazing.
He is decked out fully. I'm sitting here looking at it. He's decked out fully in his Mississippi State gear, given that migration report.
He hates the full moon worse than LSU.
I have done this is no joke. I've done it. You need to go pull it up sometime. I've done a full podcast with Estes about a full moon.
Well, I didn't know that, but I definitely want to see it. I mean, hear it.
I've heard that the fields of Arkansas get pretty rough during a full moon.
Well, I mean, if you go hunt at 6:30 and they stayed in there till 5:30, yeah, it's probably not going to be till great. Till, you know, mid-morning.
All right. Rom, anything else before I let you go?
Not really. Just stay on those ducks. Don't let them go now.
All right, Rom. Thank you again for being here. We'll talk to you again next week. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.